You are now tuned into the Truth Frequency.
We are TFR. TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
I wipe my brow and I sweat my rust. I'm breathing in the chemicals. I'm breaking in, shaping up, then checking out on the prison bus. This is it, the apocalypse. Whoa, I'm waking up.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for tuning in. This is, of course, your Red Pill Reports for the first day of 2015. We have done it, ladies and gentlemen. We put another year into the record books last night, and I kind of have a couple of questions about that. But anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed the conversation with Melissa Melton and Aaron Dykes that we had yesterday. Again, two of my favorite people on the planet. I completely neglected to mention the fact that they are also on Truth Frequency Radio. They have a show on Saturday nights, if I'm not mistaken. And in that vein, I'm sure they, along with all of the other hosts at Truth Frequency, will always appreciate your support of the network. If you have a couple of dollars you can spare, please go hit that donate button and donate a little bit to Truth Frequency. So many good hosts doing so many good things. And if you enjoyed the conversation that we had yesterday, I'd highly recommend checking out their shows. Guys have more fantastic deep information about such a wide variety of topics. I just absolutely love having them on the program, and I neglected to mention the fact that they did their own show yesterday because we got cut off by the bell, so I wanted to address that quickly. Also, because we were cut off by the bell, I did not get to wish you guys a happy new year in any kind of official capacity, so on behalf of those of us here at Red Pill Reports, I want to wish you guys a very happy, peaceful, and prosperous 2015. Let's hope that this year we don't continue down the slippery slope that we're on right now. We are going to have a big show today. This Thursday, we are live right now, just like we are Monday through Friday. First hour of the show, we'll be going over some news, and there is a lot of it to cover today. And the second hour, as promised, Wolfgang Halbig will be joining us on the program today. His website is sandyhookjustice.com. I highly recommend you guys go and check that out as well. In terms of integrity, and in terms of investigators in this whole Sandy Hook scene, Wolfgang, to me, is the very top echelon. He is the cream of the crop in terms of the investigators that are out looking at Sandy Hook. And I'll bet he'll be the first person to tell you that he does not have any interest in being involved at this point. And it was the fact that he got so threatened by the guys in Connecticut. He just pretty much got angry and decided to get involved. And that's usually what it takes to get people motivated. But anyway, that's going to be a very, very good conversation. We will obviously be talking about Sandy Hook and that alleged incident that happened there. So if you're still on the fence about Sandy Hook, obviously we just had the two-year anniversary last weekend. This is going to be a conversation you're not going to want to miss. So please do stay tuned for that. We also have it on pretty good authority that Mr. Stan Deo will be joining us for the program tomorrow. Stan Deo, if you guys don't know, amazing researcher, author, in the field of ufology, ancient manuscripts, biblical texts, things like that. Probably one of, right up there with L.A. Marzulli, again, you know, with people that I find to be the most interesting people on the planet to speak with. So Stan Deo joining us tomorrow. Hope you guys are having a good 2015 so far. We're going to try and set some high water marks this year. I've got some updates regarding this mortgage crisis issue that we're trying to break here at redpillreports.com. Not exactly the successful run on the petition signing that we had hoped for, guys. But here's the deal. We here at Red Pill Reports understand that sometimes the key in life is to think about things in a different way. And so some people might say with a target goal of 100,000 signatures, having only reached about 600, that could be perceived as kind of a weakness. But, you know, We got to talking, and we realized that those 600 people that have already signed that petition, well, you guys are the ones that have cojones, and we're going to try our best to bring to you guys an easier dissemination, an easier packet of information to disseminate, and we're going to essentially ask certain ones of you, people who kind of meet the cut, out of that initial 600 and out of people who are going to continually be signing the petition, to become community leaders and to start actually making a difference in your community by really kind of taking the bull by the horns here and helping us get this thing pushed over the top. We've had an amazing response from the audience so far, and I realize even with these small numbers that might be hard to believe, but the people who have signed and have gone way, way further than just signing the signatures on the petition. People have taken this information to their state senators' offices and put it in directly in front of them and said, listen, you know, I have a document that says that you were already notified about this and you haven't done anything. So you now have 10 days to respond to me and tell me how we're going to solve this problem. And that's exactly what it's going to take. We've got to put feet in the offices here, ladies and gentlemen. So we don't have all the details. I don't have all the details right now for you guys, but you've asked us to make this solution easier, and you've asked us for some key ways to become involved, and on we're trying to come up with a way to make this whole movement viral. And one of the things I think we're going to try and do is have people not only going into their state representative offices with all of this information, demanding accountability, but also videotaping that at the same time and putting that on YouTube so we can really focus on the people who are going out and doing what it is that needs to be done at this point. So if you're part of the movement so far in this mortgage crisis situation that's going on, you know, all this information that's been uncovered by Scott Morse and by Scott Bennett and Greg Morse. If you guys are already on that program, we're starting a movement, and it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. We're going to bring in guests that are bigger and bigger and bigger to corroborate this information and that to have a lot more reach than we do here at redpillreports.com. So this thing is going to snowball. We are the tip of the snowball. We're that first grain of snow that's fallen, and we're trying to push it down the hill, and we're going to gather steam as we go. So those of you guys who have signed that petition already, I commend you for having the cojones to do it, and we're going to be asking upon you for some additional help here coming up in the future. So do stay tuned for that as well. We also have an update for the website. Everybody that has been going to the website keeps sending us emails about how much they like redpillreports.com. But one of the things that we weren't able to do until now was provide a mobile-friendly version. And now we have a mobile-friendly version, so you can access the site on your Samsung Galaxy or your iPad or whatever it is that you're using these days, and the site should start looking quite a bit nicer on those mobile devices. So that is what I have to say this morning about everything that's going on. I have one question about the whole end of the year, new year thing, and this is a serious question. You guys may think I'm kidding here, but here's my question. Did we go back in time last night? Seriously, did we go back in time? Think about it. Dallas is in the playoffs, okay? Gas is $2 a gallon, or less than $2 a gallon. That sounds a whole lot like the 1990s to me, which, ladies and gentlemen, I have to admit, that's a decade I do not want to relive. So I don't know. Did we go back in time? I can't say. It seems like we might have jumped back into the 1990s. Anyway, that's what I've got to say this morning. We are going to jump into the news right now because there's a lot of things obviously happening. We didn't fix all the problems overnight amidst the partying. So let's see here. Moving into some international news, things that affect everyone or should affect everyone. The CIA has now finally admitted, as of yesterday, that it masterminded Iran's 1953 coup. Yep, and 60-year anniversary of the 1953 military coup in Iran that overthrew the government of radical nationalist Mohammad Mossadegh. The U.S. has now declassified documents detailing how the CIA secret operation brought the country Shah back into power. Is it surprising? No. And this scares me because it means, in my mind, it's going to be 2060 before we find out the truth about 9/11, which I will be 85 and not able to really do much about it at that point. Anyway, Monday's publication under the U.S. Freedom of Information Act came as something of a surprise, since most of the materials and records of the 1953 coup were believed to have been destroyed by the CIA, according to the archives. The CIA said at the time that the safes were too full to keep any of that information. Isn't that funny? Our hard drives crashed, so we weren't able to keep No, they didn't have hard drives back then. So that back then, the safes were too full. That was the excuse that was going around. The newly revealed documents declassify about CIA's TP Ajax operation, the TP Ajax operation that sought regime change in Iran through bribery of Iranian politicians, security, and army high-ranking officials, and a massive anti-Mossadegh propaganda that helped instigate public revolt back in 1953. And among the declassified documents, there are several examples of the CIA propaganda presenting Iranian Mossadegh pretty disparagingly. And so pretty much par for the course for what we have come to expect from the CIA. And just interesting that as a surprise reveal here overnight, they decided to go ahead and declassify the fact that we were responsible. So no wonder that the people in Iran don't like us that much. I wonder if they've known about that for some time. The U.S. Embassy has come out yesterday describing a coup attempt that went down over the weekend in Gambia. This is obviously part of the West African nation there near Senegal. And gunfire erupted overnight in Banjul, which is the capital of Gambia, and residents woke Tuesday to find the government buildings and the main bridge into town sealed off by fidgety soldiers. The United States Embassy reported that an attempted coup, even as the Gambian government issued a vague statement that peace and calm continues to prevail in Gambia. The U.S. Embassy there did report that there was, in fact, an attempted coup. Residents said that shooting began at about 1 a.m. near the seat of the government, and after day broke, most establishments in the island capital remained closed despite regular broadcasts on state-run radio urging businesses to stay open. Westerners living in Gambia awoke to emails from their embassies urging them to stay indoors. Interesting also because the Prime Minister of Gambia was actually out of town at the time, saying that he was at a meeting in France, but French officials are quoted saying that there was no record of his arrival there. So looks like he was out of town and some people took an opportunity to try to attempt a coup, and it was unsuccessful there in Gambia. Russian President Vladimir Putin just yesterday sent a New Year's greeting to Barack Obama, saying the two countries share mutual responsibility to ensure world peace. He also noted in this statement that this coming year marks the 70-year anniversary since the end of World War II when all the countries of the world united against Adolf Hitler. And he goes on to say that this historic date is a reminder of the responsibilities of Russia and the United States for supporting peace and international stability, their unique role in countering global challenges and threats. No word right now as to whether or not Barack Obama sent Mr. Putin a New Year's Eve message, but at least Putin reaching out again to the United States, he just doesn't seem like that bad a guy to me. I know I might be naive, but there you go with that. Egypt is planning to double the Gaza buffer zone within the next week. Egyptian authorities will next week double the width of a 500-meter-wide buffer zone currently under construction along some 10 kilometers of the border. North Sinai Provincial Governor Abdel Fattah said on Tuesday, and some 800 homes will be demolished in the process. Families from the area were told to evacuate and inform authorities of the Rafah border crossing whether they seek financial compensation or alternative housing. The Egyptian military has stepped up the destruction of tunnels into Gaza since Mohamed Morsi, the country's first democratically elected president, was ousted in a coup in July of 2013. More than 1,600 tunnels have allegedly been destroyed since the military-backed government came into power in Cairo last year. These underground routes represent the only lifeline for Gazans living under the Israeli blockade, and Palestinians use the tunnels to bring essential supplies such as foodstuff, cooking gas, medicines, petrol, livestock into the impoverished land. Obviously, people in Israel will say that they also use the tunnels to bring in weapons being used against Israel there, citing the need for further occupation of Israel. So whichever side you fall on that one, that's what's going on in Egypt right now. Greece has formally dissolved its parliament. It did this yesterday. We had some inklings that they were moving on towards a snap election, but they have essentially now gone forward as they will have to reconvene parliament after the January 25th election, which has now been called for because of the failure to elect Antonis Samaras. So The traditional degree now calling for new elections posted on the door of Parliament 2 days after lawmakers rejected Prime Minister Anton Samaras' candidacy for president, which again automatically triggers a return to the polls. And the January 25th vote will mark a showdown between Samaras' conservative New Democracy, Samaras' conservative New Democracy Party, I'd like to buy a vowel, which imposes unpopular budget cuts under Greece's bailout deal. So again, we had this discussion yesterday. Obviously, the New Democracy Party, Samaras' conservative group there, being sponsored by the IMF. IMF now cutting off aid to Greece until they reconvene a government. So you can see the heavy hand of the IMF coming down on the people there, basically trying to allow or apply more pressure to the people there to vote the way they want to, though. But the battle is obviously going to be between him and the left-wing Syriza party, which is Alexis Tsipras. He wants to cancel the austerity measures along with a chunk of the Greek debt. And opinion polls are now showing Syriza holding the lead over the New Democracy party, even though the margin is only about 3%. A difference right now. So again, we have this battle being waged in Greece right now between the two factions of the government, you know, the people who want to be supported by the Troika bailouts and continue with austerity versus the People's Party, which is this Syriza party, obviously starting to gain momentum in the streets now that they realize they have a chance of, getting rid of the prime minister there. So also has a lot of effect on the economy. The Greek economy yesterday taking some pretty big spills. I think it was down about 7% in the markets yesterday. So we'll see if that slide continues this morning when we get over into the economic news. Let's see here. At least 33 people were killed in a suicide attack in Yemen. Obviously still happenings in Yemen right now. You know, this is one of those places that we are not supposedly at war, but we're using a lot of drones and things like that and have been for a long time. And this suicide attack targeting Shiite rebels has killed 33 people who had gathered in a cultural center in the Yemeni city of Ibe. The rebels who reportedly gathered at this cultural center were preparing celebrations for the Prophet Muhammad's birthday over the weekend, and witnesses said a strong explosion targeted the area. Nobody has yet claimed responsibility for the attack, although Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula has a very strong presence in Yemen and has carried out similar bombings against Shiite rebels in the past, although it is unusual that they would not have claimed responsibility for it if that did fall on them. So still things fomenting around the world. No good there. Five detainees have been shipped from the U.S. military prison at Guantanamo to Kazakhstan, according to the Pentagon announcement yesterday, which takes the number of prisoners released from the detention center in 2014 to a total of 28. The three Yemenis and two Tunisians sent to the Central Asian nation capped off the highest number of transfers from the prison in 1 year since the year 2009. That year, U.S. President Barack Obama first took office after vowing to close the facility, where many detainees who remain today have been kept for well over a decade without being charged or tried. The latest release brings the number of detainees down to 127 at the Guantanamo prison, and a senior U.S. official said, according to Reuters, that the increased urgency to relocate the 59 prisoners already cleared for release would continue, with more transfers expected in the coming weeks. So, again, Barack Obama seemingly following through on his threats to close down Guantanamo Bay and moving forward on that. Here's a question, and I think this is a valid question. Maybe you guys will agree with me. And this is a question posed by Tyler Durden over at Zero Hedge. But he's wondering, as am I now, why is the Federal Reserve hiring an emergency preparedness specialist familiar with Department of Homeland Security directives? That seems like a really good question, especially considering the fact that a few weeks ago it was reported, obviously, that the Department of Treasury, U.S. Treasury, was ordering survival kits, remember that, for all of its employees overseeing the federal banking system. Now, remember, they were sending or they're spending $200,000 on survival kits for all of its employees who oversee the federal banking system, according to a solicitation that was put up in December. And survival kits will be delivered to every major bank in the United States, including solar blankets, food bars, water purification tablets, and a dust mask, amongst other things. Obviously, that when that story broke was a pretty resounding, huh? You know what I'm saying? Huh? Why is that going on? But now the Fed put up a new solicitation, and they are looking for an emergency preparedness specialist. And to top that off, they're looking for one already familiar with Department of Homeland Security directives. Now, why would they be looking for somebody like that? And here's some of what the position is requiring. They're asking for a bachelor's degree in a relevant field or equivalent work experience, plus 5 years of responsible work experience in the field, a recognized expert in emergency preparedness and working knowledge of the Department of Homeland Security directives. Work experience within this field must include work at an interdepartmental or intra-agency level that includes online education development, training, emergency evacuation, scenario development, and training, and knowledge of fire protection best practices. Must have working knowledge of the National Incident Management Structure and Integrated Command Structure. Must be highly involved in emergency preparedness planning across functional areas, coordinating emergency response actions, and involvement at various levels of the ICS in IMS structure. Also, a demonstrated ability to conduct vulnerability assessments, fire and life safety protection, and coordinate in-house and public outreach. Also, must be able to maintain secret clearance. This is crazy, and perhaps most ironically, is the employment status listed as temporary. What? Temporary? That just doesn't make any sense at all. So we need a safety and security expert familiar with the Department of Homeland Security directives to immediately come on board at the Federal Reserve to probably help oversee the distribution of these, emergency survival kits to people there. But don't worry. It's just a temporary post. Just a temporary post, ladies and gentlemen. And wow, if that doesn't make you wonder, I don't know what will. So, yeah, there you go. That's what's happening in the world. Didn't get better overnight, ladies and gentlemen. Police officers in Pennsylvania shot a suspect dead yesterday for resisting arrest over online threats. So essentially what happened was this 52-year-old man threatened police officers online and did it in a video post. And it was actually pretty descriptive. He comes on video and essentially says, you know, you frickety-fracking police officers, if you think you can take me down, you know, come and get it. I'll kill you and your families and blah, 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 and eat your dogs or whatever. And he says a lot of pretty gnarly things. So anyway, 52-year-old gentleman, he essentially was at his home. Police officers showed up to arrest him for said YouTube threats where he decided he didn't want to go to jail, got in his car. He hit one of the officers' cars with his car, which obviously escalates the situation to life-threatening for an officer, if you're an officer. And so they shot him to death. So there you go, resisting arrest. I will say that I don't believe that threatening someone online, even real descriptive vocal threats, that's still Class C misdemeanor assault. And also possibly resisting arrest. Neither of those things carry with them the death penalty. That's all I'm going to say about that. Just so another gentleman shot dead yesterday at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon in Pennsylvania for resisting arrest after threatening officers online. Is it justified? You know, who knows? I don't know. Let's see here. The U.S. has now lifted a 40-year ban on oil exports, kind of a big deal. They have lifted this ban, which was introduced back in the 1970s, and the Obama administration is now allowing several companies to start exporting raw materials beginning next August. The U.S. Commerce Department's Bureau of Industry and Security has authorized several energy companies to export so-called ultra-light oil, as stocks in the United States have increased following the development of shale deposits. Supplies can start easily and as early as August, although initial volumes are likely to be small. The new rules envisage that after minimal processing, ultralight oil will be classified as petroleum products, and that will be how they get around the ban. According to estimates of the Brookings Institute in Washington, in 2015, the U.S. will be able to sell abroad about 700,000 barrels of oil a day, and the U.S. imposed this ban, as I said, back in 1973 in a response to the embargo by Arab countries. Since then, U.S. companies could export refined oil like gasoline and diesel, but not the raw material. However, in recent years, the prices on ultralight oil have fell below the cost of conventional oil, and producing companies began to actively lobby for lifting of the ban. There's potential, though, that the export of crude oil from the United States could lead to further decline in global oil prices. Obviously, it's going to increase supply on the market by an additional 700,000 barrels a day. So what's that going to do to our energy market here in the United States. It's kind of difficult to say. I think we all know at this point which way the wind is blowing. Let's see. According to police, thieves crashed a dump truck into a Long Island Macy's store in order to steal the ATM. I gotta give these crooks a little bit of credit. That's pretty ingenious. So they used a dump truck. They slammed into the Macy's store on Long Island early Tuesday morning, loaded the ATM up in the back of it, and then tried to get away. There was actually a taxi driver who watched the entire scene go down, so he took it upon himself to try and follow the dump truck as it was leaving, and he had already called the police. He followed it as far as he could, and the police eventually did find the dump truck, and they were able to do a massive search in the area. It took 2 hours. Police dogs, helicopter ended at about 4 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday, and the dump truck with the ATM has been impounded. They were able to arrest one suspect. They're still looking for one more. Very interesting stuff. Kind of signs of the times, I think, these days. People are really getting a little antsy for cash and taking it upon themselves to do things that are maybe a little bit more outlandish than normal, like crashing a dump truck into a Macy's store. So anyway, welcome to 2015. That's what's going on there. Let's see. And then another goofy story here. A 54-year-old Massachusetts woman allegedly vandalized a church by using a magic marker and writing 666 in as many as 15 different locations. And then she attacked police officers who were responding to the vandalism with a large crucifix. She has been arrested, but goofy stuff going on all around the world. People are losing their minds. It seems to happen more and more around the holiday seasons. But this woman in Massachusetts under arrest right now for assaulting a police officer with a crucifix. Crazy, crazy stuff. Anyway, guys, we have to take a 3-minute break. When we come back, there's plenty of science, health, and tech news to go through. Obviously, got an amazing guest at the 11 o'clock hour. So about a half an hour from now, we'll be joined by Wolfgang Albig about Sandy Hook. Right here, guys, 3-minute break.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
A sudden change in the wind. The day grows dark. As ominous clouds move in and lightning begins to carve arcs in the sky, and you realize you are not prepared.
I am telling you to take cover.
The number of intense storms is increasing exponentially in the U.S. Tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, and droughts are happening with greater magnitude and frequency. If you are choosing to rely on the government to save you,
and no one's coming to help them,
you could be dead wrong. The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to My Patriot Supply. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48. Visit us online or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. Hemp you VitaminUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Exposing faux capitalism with Jason Earp.
Sundays on Truth Frequency Radio.
Back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. This is, of course, your daily OCP programming. We're trying to keep you guys up to date on everything that's going on right now in the world. Of course, today, markets are closed because of the holiday. We'll let you know that the Dow did close down about 160 points yesterday, ended up at the 17,823 mark. Let's move on and see. Oil, obviously, all the markets are closed today, but oil did down, settled down yesterday at about 53.27. So we were off of the low yesterday. We did get down to about 52 and change yesterday at a couple of points. So major, major lows in the oil market still happening. And also gold sitting at 11.84 with a closed market today. And $15.60 big pennies will get you an ounce of silver. Obviously, the oil going down yesterday, a little bit of a concern, and it probably has to do with the fact that the Saudi king was admitted to the hospital yesterday for tests. And after that happened, the Saudi stock market actually tumbled by as much as 6%. So really, right now, there's a lot of conjecture going on in Saudi Arabia because the king, who has been in good health for a long time, he is 90 years old at this point. So the anytime something happens with him in terms of his health, the idea of succession starts to come up. And right now, as this idea of succession comes up, you start having to think about, you know, who's going to take over for him and what might happen to the OPEC policies and to the foreign policy there of Saudi Arabia. And if there's one thing that we know from history is that the new king of Saudi Arabia can pretty much do whatever they want, including changing oil policy. So this, the fact that he was in the hospital yesterday, the Saudi king, led to a little bit of a dip in the Saudi stock market and also led probably to that dip in oil prices that we saw yesterday going down to 5-year lows. So not necessarily sure when a succession might happen or when a change of policy coming out of OPEC could happen. But obviously the king's health will play into that somewhat. And obviously any type of inclination one way or the other is going to have an effect on the stock markets overseas and around the world. So that is what is going on there. New indications are now that Venezuela's economy has entered into a recession officially. With the economy officially contracting 2.3% in the third quarter and having the highest inflation in the Americas at 63.6%. Unbelievable. Venezuela did confirm earlier this week that it was officially in recession as the country's GDP has fallen for 3 consecutive quarters with a drop of 4.8% in the first quarter, 4.9% in the second, and the 63.6% inflation is a record in North and South America and is amongst the world's highest. President Maduro believes the Venezuelan economy's plunge is a result of global political and instability and falling oil prices, which is pretty clear. And the contracts for Venezuelan oil are currently being traded at $48 a barrel, with $56 a barrel for Brent crude as of yesterday morning. In the middle of 2014, the price for Venezuelan oil futures was around $96. So you're looking at, almost exactly half of where we were at just in the middle of the summer. And Venezuela has the world's largest proven oil reserves. So its economy is highly dependent on the oil trade. It actually makes up 90% of the country's exports. And in the third quarter, they fell by 14.2% to only $19 billion. So Venezuela going through some tough economic times right now. Obviously, the OPEC driving down the price of oil to affect Russia is also affecting Venezuela now. Just for you people out there who are interested in Bitcoin, there is going to be a new Bitcoin trust. So they're going to start selling, obviously trying to bring Bitcoin into the derivative umbrella here. The Winklevoss Bitcoin Trust just yesterday filed to sell 20.1 million shares on the NASDAQ exchange. The shares represent units of interest in the Bitcoin exchange traded fund. So we're talking about a Bitcoin EFT here, which was launched by Tyler and Cameron Winklevoss, the twins who are best known for their legal dispute with Mr. Zuckerberg over Facebook's origins. The ETF will be listed under the symbol COIN, C-O-I-N, according to the filing. And the Winklevoss brothers also launched a Bitcoin index, which is the WinkDex, W-I-N-K-D-E-X, in February. And Bitcoin is obviously, we're talking about a decentralized virtual currency that's attracted attention for its large price swings. So if you're interested in getting into Bitcoin ETFs, that option will be available for you here in February. Let's see here. Initial jobless claims rose to 17,000 and end the year 2014 at the same level as in July. So it does appear now that this wonderful trend of declining initial jobless claims has now run its course for the last 5 months. Initial jobless claims have oscillated around that crucial to the narrative 300,000 level, breaking the constant downtrend of the last 4 to 5 years. But today's $300,000 print, up 17,000 from last week, is the same level seen in the third week of July. And this is the highest six-month rise in initial claims since the middle of the polar vortex. This is coming from Zero Hedge. Tyler does such a great job over there bringing things into focus. Let's see here. The chief economist at the Deutsche Bank has gone on record now by rating the voting members of the FOMC for next year. He's essentially saying that U.S. monetary policy is going to remain very loose in 2015 because the Federal Open Market Committee will be more dovish next year. He's saying that there will be a changing of the guard at the Federal Open Market Committee, and a couple of the relatively hawkish people will be gone. So we'll be replaced by people who are a little bit more centrist. And he goes on to essentially say that that will be an indication that interest rates will remain low. And so, of course, the dollar will strengthen, and we'll see probably 20,000 on the Dow next year. Who knows? My goodness. Germany having some issues also. The crisis in Germany is starting to become pretty rapid and widespread. There is no country, honestly, that has suffered the pains of Russian sanctions in the West more than Germany, because Russian market has compensated Germany in the past years, covering up many of the problems with the German economy that originated with the euro crisis. As the economy has turned down inside the EU, German sales of products have declined, and that decline was replaced by Russian buyers of everything from food to German cars. But with Russian trade now cut off, the economic decline in Germany is starting to become visible. There's also a rising anti-foreigner trend emerging in Germany with the economic decline in motion. The German press, perhaps the last real free press in the world, also warns of the coming police state in Germany. So the German dream seems like it is about to bust, ladies and gentlemen. And again, I'm not being a doomsayer here. This is Martin Armstrong over from Lou Rockwell saying these things, and I kind of agree. I think we've seen the ruble decline spill over into Belarus. We've now seen also it affecting the people there in Belarus pretty badly. So, again, of course, I was asking Rick Rozoff about that a few weeks ago, saying, it's amazing to see the bedfellows that are being made in all of this inner fighting between NATO and Russia, and then throwing the EU into the mix. It's just really bizarre to see how all of these people are trying to squeeze every last drop out of one another, but they don't realize how small the world is actually getting now. It's just kind of mind-boggling to me. But anyway, that's what I have to say about that. Let's move on to some tech news right now. Cops have now arrested a man tied to the hacks on the Xbox and PlayStation networks. Police in the UK appear to have collared one of the Grinches responsible for a massive distributed denial of service attack on the Xbox Live and Sony PlayStations, which obviously spoiled Christmas for a lot of gamers by knocking the console's networks offline. According to Daily Dot, British law enforcement raided the home of 22-year-old Vinny Omari, arrested him, and seized phones, computers, and his Xbox One. Omari is a reported member of the so-called Lizard Squad, a group of troublemaker hackers who followed up the Christmas attacks by offering to sell their tools to others who wanted to knock different sites off of line. And the UK police have yet to name Omari, but did on Wednesday issue a short statement announcing the arrest of a 22-year-old man for computer-related offenses. The statement does not cite the Christmas hacks, but does describe activities from earlier this year that also appear in a purported arrest warrant published by the Daily Dot, and that arrest warrant does describe the Sony and the Xbox hacking. So, long story short, they have arrested one of the guys who was responsible for the big Sony hack, or not the Sony hack, excuse me, the Xbox hack. So it is Sony, but the Xbox portion of the Sony hack over the weekend. Kind of really interesting too, Krebs, I don't know if you guys follow Krebs' blog, but there's a great blog, Krebs Security, and he's one of the first people really to call these Lizard Squad guys out. And I got to be honest, if you're, you know, a hacker and you're doing stuff like taking down Xbox and PlayStation networks, I would expect you to be a little smarter than to allow yourself to be caught. And I think that's what Krebs is essentially saying here, too. He kind of comes out and pokes quite a bit of fun at these lizard guys, calling them, you know, young kids and script kiddies and things like that, which are kind of the typical hacker insults to people who don't really know what they're doing. And that's why these people get caught. So anyway, the molecular map of autism genes have allegedly been identified. I'm not sure if I buy this story, but I'm throwing it out there just in case. U.S. researchers say they have identified the molecular network underpinning many of the genes that have been shown to be involved in autism spectrum disorders. The discovery could lead to uncovering more genes specifically linked to autism, as more and more studies strengthen the idea of genetic mutations being at least a contributing factor to the disorders, researchers at Stanford University say. So just in those two first paragraphs, you know this whole thing is full of crap. First of all, it's from Stanford, full of crap, right? You know they're full of crap. Discovery leads, listen to what they're saying. They're saying that we have identified molecular networks underpinning many of the genes that have been shown to be involved. So we're talking about genes that might be involved. We're talking about a molecular network that might be underpinning those genes. And then we might be able to look at that and say we could maybe potentially uncover more genes specifically linked to autism. Autism is caused by vaccines, ladies and gentlemen, and probably glyphosate, Roundup from Monsanto. I think that this whole Stanford study is an attempt to just throw more chum in the water, and I'm not going to buy it because I've seen how autism develops in a person right in front of my very own eyes. So more tomfoolery coming out of the science division of the world as far as I'm concerned. Intel has now patented real-time facial recognition systems for images taken from video on a mobile device. So this is maybe a little scary to some of you guys out there, but Intel is now planning to supply the processor for the next generation of Google Glass, which will obviously be including real-time facial recognition as part of its platform. So scary stuff. I don't like that. It's not what we need right now. But again, you know, once Intel is putting that stuff out in the public domain, you have to understand that the DARPA-type people probably had it for 4 years at this point. So to think that the police don't already have, you know, instant facial recognition, which is one of the reasons I'm so anti-body camera, not only to the fact that they don't work, but I think that that could be a platform developed for instant identification of people from a distance, which might keep officers safer, but it also obviously intrudes on people's rights, and I don't think it would be very far-fetched to believe that Intel could take that chip and apply it to officers' body cameras. So anyway, just pointing out another aspect of the slippery slope that we are on right now. Here's some cool science news coming out of Russia. A company that is privately owned in Russia called Lin Industrial has announced that it is now capable of constructing a base on the moon. And that's not even the coolest part. The projected cost is the coolest part. They think they can do it for less than $10 billion, which to me, for a base on the moon, that doesn't seem like very much, right? They're going to do it in a couple of different stages. They're going to do a lunar outpost, which is sort of going to be like a small base camp, and then they want to set up a second stage facility manned by 2 and 4 crew members. And again, $9.3 billion. I think the construction would require about 13 heavy carrier rocket launches and a total of 37 launches over a period of about 5 years to maintain the base. And they propose Malapert Mountain, which is that's the location that they want to put this thing on the moon, which is located near the moon's south pole. And they think they can do it in less than 10 years. So I think that's pretty cool. You know, maybe space on the moon. Makes a lot of sense if you think about building the space elevator, too. You got to have someplace to go up there. And I know there's a lot of minerals and things like that a lot of people here already own and claim to be wanting to mine. So is that a big step in that direction? I think it might be. France enacted a law now allowing the government to snoop on private internet data. This is a report coming from Russia Today. They published a decree which enacted an internet surveillance law that was actually passed a year ago, and the controversial measure allowing authorities administrative access to connection data reportedly comes into force as of today. So happy New Year's to people in France right now. All of your information coming under the new authority to be administratively accessed, apparently. The decree providing French officials with access to data from a wide range of telecom services in the country includes phone calls, text messages, and internet access by both private users and operators. It was published again over the Christmas holidays in France's La Pointe. And so starting today, French government itself will be in control of its residents' connection data, with an interdepartmental group being in charge of security interceptions and administrative access, gathering requests for certain data and obtaining it from the operators. So, wow, at least this is an article I can read and say, man, I'm glad I don't live there. But, of course, the NSA already does all of this here, and we don't need a law for it. Although I think that portions of the Patriot Act probably are codified at this point, making, you know, the dragnet of all of our electronic information probably okay in terms of the law. I know I'm good with it. I don't know about you guys out there, but I'm totally fine, you know, because if you're not doing anything wrong, you know, what do you have to hide? Right. So also the federal government coming out with a fairly big warning right now, because the suspected Sony hackers, also known as the GOP or the Guardians of Peace, they have now threatened to go after not just the movie industry, but also the news media as well. I have to say, I fully support that. I think going after somebody like Sony doesn't really make a lot of sense. Going after CNN and replacing all of their broadcasts with Truth, I could get behind something like that. Anyway, on Wednesday, The Intercept published a joint intelligence bulletin circulated by the U.S. government last week, in which the federal investigators acknowledged that an unnamed news media organization has been warned with suffering a fate similar to that endured by the Sony Pictures Entertainment Corporation. The Hollywood entity ravaged by hackers in late November, purportedly over the planned release of the anti-North Korea comedy The Interview. The memo, dated Christmas Eve and distributed by the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the Department of Homeland Security, explains that the cyber intrusion targeting USPER-1 and related threats concerning the planned release of the movie The Interview have extended to USPER-2, which is a news media organization, and may extend to other such organizations in the near future. So thanks to The Intercept, it's been revealed that the FBI saw reason to believe another target was being eyed as well. The joint issued bulletin says elsewhere that a string of messages posted over the website Pastebin by individuals claiming to be affiliated with the GOP taunted the news media over its supposedly inferior investigative work. And one of the media organizations that was taunted by the GOP was specifically CNN. So that's why people are starting to believe perhaps CNN might be the target of a new hacking attempt by the same guys that did Sony. And again, I think if they did that and it was sort of like a V for Vendetta style deal where you just took over the airwaves and started playing documentaries about Truth all the time, I think I could support that. I don't know about you guys. Send me an email. Let me know. What do you think? Let's see here. I'm going to move on to some health news before we run out of time. A new report coming out of Tech Times right now, talking about some research being done at UCLA, and it might actually offer some hope for those people out there in early stages of Alzheimer's. These neurologists, they are countering the normal neuroscientist story, which is that the brain stores memories in connections between neurons, which are called synapses, which are exactly the connections destroyed by the Alzheimer's disease. So now these researchers at UCLA are saying that that's not necessarily the case. They believed for a long time that the brain did in fact store memories in the connections between neurons, but this new research saying that long-term memory is not stored in the synapse. This is from a gentleman named David Glansman, who is one of the authors of the study. He says it's a relatively radical idea, but that's not really where the evidence is leading them. Their studies suggest that memory traces are not stored in the synapses, but instead the neuron itself has a memory, and how many synapses ought to be creating with other neurons. The synapses just being an expression of the memory. So if that is true, they propose, these researchers at UCLA, that even though Alzheimer's destroys synapses in the memories themselves may not be destroyed, and it's possible that they could be reactivated or recovered by reminder stimulus involving the memory with neurons themselves. So very interesting stuff coming out of UCLA, talking about potentially returning memories to Alzheimer's victims by essentially, you know, reminding, using a reminder stimulus to stimulate the neurons themselves, and hope that they will create new synapses and then get, you know, be able to recover some of those memories. Very cool stuff there. Maine, you guys have a pretty major problem right now. Just want to let you know that there has been a bill introduced in Maine to make it illegal. Well, it's not really to make it illegal. It's to make it much more difficult to get out of having your children vaccinated. That's essentially what's going on. So the bill is going to make it more difficult for you to opt out of immunization for your children, and it should and it could go before the state legislature as early as January. The proposed law is driven by the public health threat supposedly posed by the increased number of unvaccinated children. Of course, that's according to the bill's sponsor. Maine's opt-out rate for children entering kindergarten has climbed in recent years, and in the 2013 and 14 school year, it reached 5.2%, which is the fifth highest in the nation, according to the U.S. Center for Disease Control. Public experts worry that the health is becoming susceptible to a return of vaccine-preventable diseases such as measles and pertussis. Maine has seen a surge in pertussis cases in the last few years, and in other states such as California and Ohio, measles has made a comeback this year. So more Maine parents are using the philosophic exemption to forego vaccinations, probably because of, you know, concerns that vaccinations cause autisms or can be otherwise harmful. This article goes on to say that scientific research has debunked the alleged autism connection and shown that vaccines are safe, according to the federal CDC, which is a bald-faced lie, because obviously we know the CDC was covering up the link between the MMR shots and autism development in African-American children. We've already had that story, so why they would choose to include that little blurb in this article is ridiculous. But the bill submitted by Representative Richard Farnsworth, who is a Democrat from Portland, Farnsworth is his name if you guys are trying to get him out of office, is going to require parents who wish to opt out for philosophic reasons to first consult with a primary care professional, otherwise known as a pharmaceutical rep, such as a doctor or a nurse practitioner or other physician's assistant. So here's what I would do to counter this. Let the bill go through. It doesn't matter. All they're asking you to do, though, is to go then. It's going to put an extra step in your ability to, you know, get your waiver signed, and they're going to ask that your waiver be signed by a medical professional. So just the other day, we had a PDF on redpillreports.com, and I'm sure you can go find it right now. It's like 3 pages. It's in French, Spanish, and English. You can take that out. Take that to your doctor. Say, this is, I want you to sign this. If you're going to put garbage into my kid, you're going to sign this thing, and you're going to tell me that nothing bad is going to happen to my kid. So I would put that document in front of them, as well as the document that says you want a, you know, philosophic reason to or a philosophic excuse to get away from vaccinating your kids, and see which one he signs. I guarantee you he's going to sign that one that lets you off the hook. No harm, no foul, because you have the right as a parent to decide what what's going to be put in your child's body. I mean, this is just common sense, man. I can't even imagine aligning myself with a company whose whole business model only works if you're not well, and then to trust them to put, you know, garbage into my body, or to lobby the state so that the state, you know, pretends that it somehow has authority over me to tell me what I have to put into my body. Plus all of the reasons that, you know, vaccines are just ludicrous in terms of science. Just so many ridiculous reasons not to vaccinate your kids. You can't even go through them all. We had an article yesterday from Natural News, 10 reasons not to get the flu shot. Boom. Here's an article today, how to eliminate employee influenza vaccine mandates. And there's actually a couple of good steps in here. First one is awareness. Familiarize yourself with the issues and the facts and share those facts with people who are reasonable or reasonably likely to hear them and understand them. And if you are facing a current or near future mandate, learn about your rights so you can exercise them efficiently. That's the most important thing. And have to remember, too, it all goes back to you being created with divine rights from God. So there is no entity created on the planet that has more rights than you do. That's the foundation of liberty. Not the state, not the federal government. None of these people can put words on paper and then make it real. That's not how reality works. We're in a constitutional republic that's designed to protect and codify your individual rights that came from God. Your right coming from God is not to be subjected to somebody else's will or some company's will, again, whose business model only is effective if you are not well. So again, you know, just understanding that you do not have to capitulate with these people's demands, because their demands are based on lunacy. We have this thing in our country called consent of the governed. I think we fought a war about it once, and it seemed like a pretty important idea at the time. I think that it might be even more important these days. So remember, you know, you are the stewards of your children, and you are the stewards of all of the children around you. If your neighbor is going to get her children vaccinated, that's your responsibility to go and at least give them information. Some of these people may not have heard any of this before, as surprising as that might sound. But the connection between autism and vaccinations is real. The connection between spreading illness and vaccinations is real. I mean, CDC, I forgot to even mention this, CDC right now saying that we have reached epidemic status for our flu that's going around right now. And, of course, the strains of the flu that are creating this epidemic status are not covered by this year's vaccine, according to the CDC. Anyway, we got to take a 3-minute break. Keep it right here, guys. Wolfgang Halbig will be joining us, and we're going to get off of vaccines. We'll be talking about Sandy Hook. Keep it right here. 3-minute break, guys.
Haven't you always wanted your very own Truth Frequency Radio bumper sticker? To get the word out about the fastest growing news talk outlet in the independent media? Joe Joseph here for TruthFrequencyRadio.com. KTFRN and LibertyStickers.com have teamed up to give you your very own Truth Frequency Radio bumper sticker for free. Just go to TruthFrequencyRadio.com/stickers today. And don't forget to visit our friends at LibertyStickers.com, home of the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. Their vast selection and quality of stickers are second to none. TruthFrequencyRadio.com, because silence is consent.
Archaeology, astronomy, alchemy, secrets of the Holy Bible, hidden codes of the Quran, demonology, Tesla technology, solar power, extraterrestrials in the ancient world. More than 500 documentaries, an experimental film lab of cutting-edge music and art, full-length movies, conference reports, and weekly TV shows. The Enigma Channel is the world's first truly global TV station. www.enigmatv.com. Intelligent television for planet Earth.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
This is Truth Frequency Radio.
No hate, no hype, no fear. Real people, real radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, right now having a little bit of trouble reaching Wolfgang Haubig, so I'm going to keep attempting to reach Wolfgang, and we'll see if we can bring him onto the program. So sometimes live radio, guys, it's just kind of the way it goes. I don't know what I can do about it right now, but we are going to try our best at getting him onto the show here as quickly as possible, but I'm going to move on to a little bit of news. Before I do that, I want to go ahead and open up the phone lines. We have been on air now as of, I believe, it'll be this weekend, but that'll make our official 2 months being on the air, and we've got a lot of good things going on here at Red Pill Reports. The team is growing, working on bringing more original content to the website and things like that. But I would love to hear from you guys out there. We haven't had an opportunity to take a lot of phone calls yet because I always seem to forget, and the guest hours just seem to go so quickly. So I want to go ahead and open up the phone lines to anybody out there. If you've got questions about articles or comments about the news, if you have some insight into some stories that we have not yet covered here at redpillreports.com, or if you have just comments about the website, if you love me, if you hate me, I would love to hear from you guys out there. If you have the time, please give us a call, 866-37-TRUTH. You can also reach us at 866-378-7884. I'm going to just kind of leave the phones open for a little while. Again, if you guys have comments or questions or you know, anything that you guys think that we should be talking about, love to hear from you guys. We want to, again, you know, the idea with redpillreports.com and the radio show that we're doing is to create a forum. You know, I'm not anybody special. I do everything I can to try and stay up to date on all of the stories that are going on all around the world. But it's difficult to have a lot of deep knowledge about each specific one. So I try and I kind of have to keep myself spread fairly thin just so I can kind of keep an eye on everything that's going on. And so that's the point of us bringing the guests that we bring to the program, because they are people who have, you know, unique perspectives, deeper knowledge than we have. And, you know, our goal here is to connect those people with you. You know, we want you guys to be the benefactors of all of us learning together. So that's kind of the goal here. So again, if you guys want to give us a call, you have comments about the show or anything you'd like to talk about, please give us a call, 866-37-TRUTH, which is also 866-378-7884. I'll leave the phone lines open. And again, we're trying to reach out to Wolfgang Haubig right now and hope that we can bring him onto the program for you guys, because obviously the anniversary of Sandy Hook just happening, still a lot of things going on in that arena. I want to go ahead and bounce back over into the news right now and see if we can find anything else to talk about here. We talked about the minimum wage increase today that hit 20 different states, so that's a pretty big deal. There was apparently a large stampede that happened in Shanghai during their New Year's Eve celebration. Luckily, nobody in New York was hurt during the ensuing goofiness that went down last night. But the stampede in Shanghai has left at least 36 people dead and injured 47 others as thousands surged forward to grab fake dollars, which were thrown from a rooftop. So not a good thing happening there in Shanghai overnight. Last year, 300,000 people packed into the area, sparking safety concerns. This year in New York, I know the National Guard was called out to try and keep things under control. There were a lot of threats of impending protests, obviously stemming from the Eric Gardner situation. So that was peaceful here last night, but not the case in Shanghai, apparently. I'm going to move back over into my news for just a second here, guys, if you'll bear with me. This is what happens in live radio sometimes, guys. You just kind of get ahead of yourself, and we got through most of the news, but there's some other stories that I think we can cover here. So just let me call some of this stuff up, and we'll move on to some other things that are pretty cool. Let's get into little energy and environmental news, which is stuff that I don't always get to cover. And right now, the monarch butterfly under threat as being listed as an endangered species after 90% of the monarch butterflies have apparently died in the last year. So the government toying with the idea of adding the monarch butterfly to the endangered species list following the catastrophic loss of its population over the last decade due to habitat decrease from cultivation of genetically engineered crops and from alleged climate change. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service announced on Monday that it would conduct a one-year status review of the monarch butterfly to determine if they warranted protection under the Endangered Species Act. So the agency right now is requesting scientific and commercial data through a 60-day public information period, and they're looking for data on the insect's biology, range, and population trends, habitat requirements, genetics and taxonomy, and things like that. So will the monarch butterfly go the way of the dodo bird? Kind of difficult to say. I certainly hope not, because they are beautiful, and what really frightens me is if they do get put on this endangered species list, am I going to get arrested every time I hit one with my truck? Because it seems like no matter what I do, every time I go drive around out here in the countryside, I think it's like a gang initiation for butterflies. I really do. They get right in front of your truck, and they just hover there as long as they possibly can until they move. I think it has to do with some sort of gang initiation, but I hit more of them than I'm comfortable with, especially if they're going to be classified as a endangered species. That would be bad news. So hopefully, I know there are ways that people can plant certain things which are, you know, beneficial to the monarch butterfly. So perhaps we can try and find some links to some of those types of plants that will give you guys some options for trying to recreate the monarch butterfly, you know, population in the country. Have you guys ever thought about living underground? I read a book when I was in college called I think it was called How to Build an Underground House for Less Than $50, and it came out, I think, in 1978. And since then, I have been completely infatuated with the idea of building an earth bermed shelter. I think that they are absolutely amazing in terms of their energy retention. Also, their you know, me growing up here in the Midwest, we're not strangers to tornadoes and things like that. So very, very cool in terms of reasons to build an underground home. But there's a great article from Mother Earth News talking about how we can all build a greener future with earth-sheltered homes. This obviously brings into it the classification of like earth-sheltered homes, and also the what are the earth ships also would be considered an earth-sheltered home. Very, very cool, though. I'm really, really interested in getting into an environment like that someday. But if you guys have an interest in that, you can check out in the Home, Farm, and Garden section at the website at redpillreports.com, and you'll be able to see this cool little article about building earth-sheltered homes, and maybe if you haven't thought about it before, give you something to think about. Let's talk a little bit about four ways to make your New Year's resolutions actually work. I know a lot of people today starting off the new year by thinking about how they can improve themselves, and so a lot of people go down this road every year where they say, well, I'm going to, you know, first of the year, this is when it actually happens. So a lot of people fail. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, about 92% of people actually do not keep their New Year's resolutions. But there are four easy ways that you can make them generally more successful. So we're going to talk about them a little bit. It's a common misconception. Obviously, the first thing that you should do upon launching into your newfound resolution decree is to shout it from the rooftops. After all, won't informing your friends, family, and strangers build somewhat of a support community? Well, actually, no, that's not really how that works at all. One of the leading reasons that your New Year's resolutions aren't progressing has to do with the immediate satisfaction of telling everyone about how great you're going to look, and it's similar to why millions of people buy self-help books and never actually read them. The satisfaction of buying the book itself made them feel like they did something. So the act of actually, you know, telling your friends, hey, I'm going to lose 20 pounds this year, is actually counterproductive to actually losing the 20 pounds and then having them come back to you and tell you how great you look. So keep that in mind. Number two, don't underestimate your body. Never underestimate the power that you have in your own body, whether it's in positive or negative light. Your body's response to change will always amaze you. What does this actually mean, you know, practically? It means that if you decide to quit smoking, it's often the wrong approach to decide that on January 1st, you will adopt the cold turkey method and magically stop smoking forever. Your body doesn't like that plan. It's not loaded up to accept something like that. It's actually loaded up with toxic substances like tar and radioactive ingredients from the cigarettes, so it's pretty much downright addicted to the nicotine that you've been feeding it for years, and the same applies to sugary or unhealthy food. Your body does not share your resolution enthusiasm, so you need to understand that right up front. So instead, start with a simple detox in the new year. Phase out the bad food. Phase out the cigarettes for a less toxic source of nicotine if you have to. And begin a healthy process the right away, just like with fish and animals. Going into a state of bodily shock may be, in fact, more catastrophic to you than the previous state of toxicity that you had with the sugary food or the unhealthy foods or your diet soda cravings, looking at you, Pat, or the cigarettes. So, going cold turkey sometimes is not the right solution. Sometimes you need to work with your body, and you need to understand what you've been putting your body through this whole time so that you can adjust accordingly and recognize when your body starts to fight back against your brain, because it will happen. So you can just quit smoking. You can just quit junk food. You can shed the weight. You can do all of those things. You just need to do it in moderation like everything else. Although I do know some very successful non-smokers that literally decided one night before they went to bed that they were going to be a non-smoker and have woken up and said, well, I'm a non-smoker, so I don't engage in that smoking. So there is something to be said for going cold turkey if you have the willpower to do it. Smoking is kind of one of those ridiculous things. It's like alcoholism. I always say, you know, I used to be a very heavy cigarette smoker when I was in college, part of my musician training. They make you smoke a lot. But I will always consider myself to be a smoker, regardless of how long it's been since I've had a cigarette. I will always consider myself to be a smoker because it's so addictive. People don't understand how addiction will compel you into action, and cigarettes are about the most universal example of that there is, I think, in the planet. I mean, there's nothing, in my opinion, that I've done. Well, I've never done heroin or any of the things that they like in cigarette smoke to, but there's nothing that I've ever been addicted to that would compel me to action, where I could sit here and say, I'm not going to go have a cigarette, and before I knew it, I was in the car driving to the gas station, you know, shaking my head the whole time. Addiction is a very powerful thing, so understand your body, understand your state of addiction if you're going to try and change it, and work with it, not against it, because working against it is almost a guarantee that you will fail. Make your resolution natural, not stressful. So if you want to ensure that you do, in fact, hit the gym 3 times a week and that you do, in fact, prepare your green smoothie every morning, the simple answer is don't make it such a big deal. Instead, adopt it into the same category as brushing your teeth. What do I mean by that? Well, it's pretty simple. Do you wake up in the morning and stress about the idea of brushing your teeth? Do you question whether or not today will be one of those days where you brush the plaque off your teeth and gums? No, of course not. You brush your teeth like you do every morning and hopefully every night with organic toothpaste, non-fluoridated, I might add, because that is how your routine works. You just have to kind of assume that these things that you would like to do are part of your routine, and don't give it as much credence in your mind as something that is a big deal. Because if you make it a big deal, your body will react to it like it is a big deal. So if you can adopt this thinking into working out, making smoothies, going to the national grocery store, those things will start to come as second nature. And if you don't stress about it the entire day, just accept the fact that it's happening, you will eventually find, relatively quickly actually, that they have become part of your rut. And if you can make a rut that's healthy, well, that's the key to health. I know there's got to be some health experts out there. While we're on the subject of health and the phone lines are open, if you would like to call in, 866-37-TRUTH or 866-378-7884 with any kind of health concerns or tips or anything like that. While we're on the subject of health, the phone lines are open, guys. If you want to call in, give us some comments. We'd love to hear from you. Who's going to be the first caller into Red Pill Reports? That's what I want to know. Let's see. The last thing you need to do during your quest to change your body and fulfill your 2015 resolutions is a power punch of toxic food items to alter your state of mind, right? So we're that you need to immediately remove yourself from all of the toxic food substances that we eat all the time, because they can affect your ability to think clearly. They can affect your willpower. They will just make you more stressful, which can lead you back into doing the things that you don't want to be doing in the first place. First one, obviously, is aspartame. Oh, my gosh, if you look at any of the gum packets at the grocery store, every single one of them has aspartame in it nowadays. If you don't know what aspartame is, it is the byproduct of an amino acid. It is literally the poop from an amino acid, from a little guy that eats toxic waste, and then it poops out a sweet poop, and that's what they call aspartame, brought to you by Donald Rumsfeld and the wonderful people at Monsanto. So anyway, if you're drinking Monsanto, if you're drinking Monsanto, you got a bigger problem than aspartame. But if you're drinking aspartame or phenylalanine, or any of the other garbage that's in your sodas, my goodness, ladies and gentlemen, please do some research. Don't take my word for it. Look up aspartame. Realize how bad it is for you and stop freaking drinking it and eating it. Oh, my gosh. High fructose corn syrup is another one. Now, a lot of suppliers at the grocery store, they've done a lot of good things this last couple of years. We see a lot of packages now with the no high fructose corn syrup on the front of them. Important to understand that the name of high fructose corn syrup has been changed and obfuscated a few times in history. So just because a package says it doesn't have high fructose corn syrup, and it does not mean it does not have some sort of toxic substitute. So again, we need to be counting chemicals and not counting our calories in this situation. But high fructose corn syrup, definitely something you want to stay away from. You know, your body basically cannot break it down. It's also been shown to contain mercury, which is obviously not a good thing. But if your body can't break it down, it's going to store it as energy for later. You know, a lot of people don't understand the correlation between eating fat and gaining fat either. And so we see these situations where people eat high energy fast food, which I'm using that term food really lightly here, that are ginormous people. And they say, well, I only eat a little bit a day and I drink my diet soda and I'm still getting really, really big. And the reason that happens, as far as all the research that I've done, ladies and gentlemen, is because you're starving yourself, because there's no actual nutritional value in any of the things that you're eating. So your body is taking the opportunity to look at the limited amount of energy that you're supplying it, in this case, in the terms of high fructose corn syrup, and it says, wow, I'm not getting any nutritional value, and I haven't seen anything nutritionally based in a very, very long time. Perhaps we should store this energy, since God only knows how long this drought is going to last in terms of food. So, you know, that's essentially what happens. We eat this garbage, and then your body stores it because it doesn't get anything from it. So that's where you get this this major weight gain from. I'm getting a little indication now that Wolfgang is going to be able to join us in just about a minute or so. So I'm going to continue with this article, and then we will try and bounce over to him. But again, artificial flavoring, something else you want to absolutely avoid, because there's nothing natural about artificial flavoring. That's actually a billion-dollar industry here in the United States, the flavoring industry, which is what makes McDonald's French fries so amazingly delicious. Genetically modified organisms, you want to stay away from those if you can as well, because they can mess with your brain, which will again limit your willpower, and then you're back on the bandwidth of trying to put whatever it is in your body that helps you deal with stress, whether it's the unhealthy food or the sugars or the cigarettes or things like that. So you can avoid some of those foodstuffs that will really affect your ability to stick with your willpower. Don't tell people in advance. Just do it. Do it for yourself. You're not doing it for anyone else. Just do it for yourself. And make that happen for yourself, guys. I think that 2015 can be a big year for everybody. Let me see here if we can get Mr. Wolfgang on the program. I appreciate you guys being patient with us as we're moving through a little bit of extra news here today.
Hello?
Hello, Wolfgang. Can you hear me?
Yes. JD.
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm here.
Oh, man, I'm so glad you were able to join us today. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce to you guys Wolfgang Haubig. For those of you guys who don't know or have not been following the Sandy Hook investigations, Wolfgang, honestly, is really the cream of the crop in terms of integrity and in terms of the quality of the information that he brings to the table. For those of you guys who don't know Wolfgang, and I'll let him kind of fill in a little of his background, but he is a nationally recognized school safety and security professional. It was essentially his job after Sandy Hook to go and explain to other school districts how to prevent incidents like Sandy Hook. So the gentleman took it upon himself, as it was his profession, to go and start asking questions. But the answers to the questions were not forthcoming, but there was quite a bit of threats that actually came down the pike towards Wolfgang. So I heard Wolfgang first was probably a little over a year ago, and have been trying to do my best to support him and his research since then. His website is sandyhookjustice.com. And Wolfgang, again, I'm very thankful for you joining us on redpillreports.com today.
Well, first of all, Happy New Year, and it's going to be an exciting year, JD.
Is it? Do you think so?
Oh, I cannot tell you what. Well, number one, I start out happy for the fact is that we're finally going to get a chance to go fly up to Hartford, Connecticut. We're going to get to appear in front of the Freedom of Information Commission. They're going to hear our case for the fact that they're refusing to answer those simple questions.
Right.
So it's good news as we start out the new year. We're going to get answers. And I think those answers, I think it's going to get a lot of people in trouble.
I think you're right. Did you think that it was going to take 2 years to bring this thing to resolution, Wolfgang?
No. And I'm glad you brought that up. It has been 2 years. Hmm? And, you know, when Sandy Hook unfolded on December 14, 2012, I mean, I must have been just like millions of others. I was glued to the television.
Right.
I mean, think about it. You look at breaking news. Fired at an elementary school. They never even mentioned the school name. Just the fact that shots fired elementary school, mm-hmm. You're sitting there going, what the hell is that about? Who in the world would do that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I also want to mention that you're not only an expert witness in the field of school safety and security, but you've also testified before congressional commissions talking about this study of school safety and security. So I imagine that when you heard initially, you know, shots fired at an elementary school, your mind obviously went back to Columbine, and you could start imagining just the horror of the situation on that day. And again, like everyone else, glued to your TV. But I want to talk a little bit about the questions that you asked, because I wonder, how long was it after you know, watching it initially on TV where you started saying, there's some things that don't add up here and I need to get involved?
Well, you know, it took about 3 days to about a week. And ironically, I actually sent a check to United Way Western Connecticut because, you know, when you have shots fired and supposedly children and teachers died, everybody gives. Somehow they reach inside the heart, you know, and they make donations. And about three after I sent that check, I started looking at it, and things just did not add up. Mm-hmm. So, yep.
So, okay, so you decided you were going to take it upon yourself and ask some questions, but not only were you not given any answers, do you want to tell people what actually happened when you first started your investigation, Wolfgang?
Well, you know, the questions that got me really going is that, you know, I train. I'm actually FEMA trained. I do workshops for 1,000 people across the country on how we are supposed to respond to an active shooter incident and how it should look like. And I actually train school administrators, superintendents, and school board members. They need to know what to expect. And when I saw, after about 3 days, I kept waiting for the news media to talk about the trauma helicopters. Do you know there wasn't one national or local national television station that questioned the fact that why were there no trauma helicopters? Now, that would be one of the first questions a news media would ask. Why would you not have requested that?
Well, let's put that into perspective for people, too, because I don't know if everybody has the timeline of events in their mind as to, you know, when police actually responded to the incident. At what point should they have called trauma, you know, and is this a situation where this is the first instance where we haven't seen trauma helicopters come? Let's talk about the timeline of events and what should have happened versus what did happen.
Right. Just remember, okay, and that's a really great point, J.D., the first 911 call came in at 9:35:43, and that's when you can hear a dispatcher say, shots fired at Sandy Hook Elementary School, okay?
Okay.
Well, let me tell you what, when you hear shots fired and you think there is an urgency of medical care, well, guess what? The dispatchers or the supervisor in law enforcement, they can request trauma helicopters to get in the air immediately. Mm-hmm. Well, JD, what makes this even worse, they didn't even bother to call the trauma helicopters.
It's unbelievable.
See, that's what bothers me more than anything. You can always request them and call, and you can always cancel the call. But when I called LifeStar in Hartford, Connecticut, they were as frustrated as I am here on your show today, the fact they never got a phone call from the incident commander requesting their help or assistance. How is that possible?
I don't know. I mean, I could rattle off a whole bunch of inconsistencies about this, but that one specifically ties into the fact that there weren't a lot of injuries. We don't have any instances of injuries. Nobody fell down. Nobody sprained an ankle. Nobody slipped on some blood. Nobody was transported by Life Flight helicopter, and certainly it seems as if nobody was transported even by ambulance. So all of those details to me are just, you know, they're all tied together, but very, very suspicious. And yet we see porta potties show up on the first day. So somebody had the wherewithal to get porta potties set up for, you know, the entire event of the day, but not Life Flight helicopters. And that doesn't make sense to me in a situation where children's lives are potentially at risk, right?
Absolutely. Now just imagine, shots fired, what are you visualizing? You're visualizing children clinging to life, mm-hmm. You know, teachers clinging to life. And if there's anything that we as parents, grandparents, and we as Americans want is to get the best medical care as quickly as possible to the scene.
Yes.
And what makes me so angry, even to this day, where is the national news media? Where is CNN, CBS, Dateline, you know, 60 Minutes? Why did they not question the people responsible on that day? Why did it not request trauma helicopters?
I think that's a great
question. JD, it's negligence.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I'm glad you brought that up about the national news media. Obviously, the big story this week is about this $1 trillion lawsuit. I know that you've got an opinion on that. When we come back from the break, I'm going to definitely, I want to hear it. I want to know what you think about this lawsuit, whether it's real, whether it's just something to keep the real investigators down. We've got a 3-minute break. It's our only one. We'll be right back. Wolfgang Kalvig, keep it right here, ladies and gentlemen.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank
your,
all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station
out
there.
I'm sorry to
when we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
All right, I've got to step away.
We're off
air for about 2 minutes.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at
truthfrequencyradio.com/sign-up
or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
You make a great team. It's been that way since the day you met. But your erectile dysfunction? It could be a question of blood flow. Sometimes when a politician has been in D.C. too long, it goes to his head and he just can't seem to get the job done. Used on a daily basis, WinnerEgg in Congress will help you every time the moment is right to have your voice heard at the federal level. When using WinnerEgg, it's important to note that the borders will be secured, Second Amendment rights protected, Obamacare and Planned Parenthood will be defunded, and common sense will be used in solving the nation's problems. Other signs of erectile dysfunction may include extreme skin discoloration, the inability to punch oneself out of a wet paper bag,
or maintain a spine in the face of liberal opposition,
amore di gramine verde, smoking,
and golf. If you have a boner lasting longer than 23 years, seek immediate medical attention. WinnerEgg. Because Boehner shouldn't count as chickens before they hatch.
It's Boehner.
I'm J.D. WinnerEgg, and I approve this message.
Feel it coming in the air. Yeah. The sonic symbols everywhere.
The Jeff Baker Show.
Monday through Friday. True Frequency Radio.
Back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys for sticking with us through that three-minute break. Our guest today is Wolfgang Halbig, who's a nationally recognized school safety and security professional. His website is sandyhookjustice.com, and I appreciate anybody who will go there and support this movement because we need to get the truth about Sandy Hook out. I think this is the chink in the armor that is the most exposed on the New World Order agenda right now, and I think if we can get them to capitulate to the fact that this whole thing was fraud, we can start looking more critically at some of the other incidents that have gone down in our history here. And so I'm very thankful for Wolfgang taking some time away from his family over the holidays to join us today. When we were going to the break, we were talking about the lack of trauma helicopters at Sandy Hook, Wolfgang. And I want to just real quickly touch on that subject one more time and ask you if you can put it into perspective. Now, I hate to pigeonhole you if you don't have the information that I'm asking for, but I'm wondering if you know what the EMT and trauma helicopter response time was at the Columbine incident, just to, you know, kind of compare and contrast. How did they respond at Columbine versus how they responded at Sandy Hook in the, you know, the EMT trauma helicopter arena?
Well, you know, we learned from Columbine. J.D., I'm 68 years old. We learned from Columbine. It's the only major shooting incident in which the SWAT team and the medical service first responders, they apologized to the nation for their lack of response. They should have been in the building quicker. Mm-hmm. The SWAT team should have gone in quicker. So everything that should have happened at Sandy Hook, which I believe did not, we learned from Columbine, active shooter. The first police officers on the scene, their highest priority, JD, is to neutralize the shooter. Right. They have no other job, no other mission whatsoever, is to get in that building, find the shooter, and kill him if need be.
Right.
Then they got the school safe. You get every medical provider in there to try to save lives and get them to the hospital. None of that happened, JD. And it's only a 13-minute flight time from Hartford, Connecticut.
So there's no indication, there's no reason that the life flight helicopters could not have been there in time to go in and handle anybody who was wounded in the Sandy Hook incident then.
No, well, J.D., you got to remember, 935-43, first 911 call, mm-hmm. When you hear shot fired at elementary school and you're assuming children or teachers might have been shot, right. you get them in the air. They didn't enter the school. The first police officers did not enter that school till 9:44:43.
Okay.
So you've got 9 minutes that have already passed. Guess what? That helicopter could have already almost been there ready to land.
Right.
And remember, people need to know the first three people in the building, their job is to neutralize the shooter. Mm-hmm. And once the school is safe and they've neutralized them, then the next group that goes in there, your paramedics and EMTs to treat the children and teachers. JD, they never let the paramedics and EMTs in the school all day long.
So they just left the bodies, the alleged bodies, in the school all day long.
Absolutely.
Ugh, that's just unbelievable to me.
But JD, here's the question. What people have failed to do, they believe the news media, and they have yet to read the report. If you read the report, the first three people that went in, there were Newtown police officers. Not one of them was a paramedic. Not one was an EMT. The next three people that went in, there not one was a paramedic. Not one was an EMT. So who checked on all the kids? Connecticut State Police didn't arrive till 9:49. So how did they know all the kids were dead?
Well, that's a great question. Who is it that's responsible for declaring the children dead in Connecticut?
In Connecticut, it can only be a doctor or a registered nurse with a special license. So remember what I just said. The first six Newtown police officers who went in, not one's a paramedic, not one's an EMT. So that begs the question, why did the national news media not challenge that? See, this is great that we're talking today. Now, go look at the history. Not one of the national news media ever questioned why you didn't let the paramedics and EMTs in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so those instances are obviously questionable. But what I want to point out here is that these are not insensitive questions. These aren't questions talking about real conspiratorial stuff. There shouldn't really be anybody out there who says, you know, this guy is insensitive and how dare he ask these questions, because these are standard investigatory questions that should be asked. And I think you've got a list of a few more that I think are also in that simple category, non-hostile, but needed to be asked. And let's go on to some of those questions, if you would, sir.
Well, you know, the thing that pops up, everybody wants to know, was this a working school? Have you ever heard that?
I've heard that question, yeah.
Well, one of the things that, as a former school administrator, I've requested through the Connecticut FOIA request, mm-hmm. copies of all work orders generated by the school principal, assistant principal, or the head custodian from March the 1st through December 13th, 2012.
Okay.
That would show that school was a clean and operating school.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Makes sense to me.
2 years, they have not answered or let me see any records whatsoever. Why?
I don't know. I mean, because it doesn't fit into the agenda, I imagine.
Well, all I have to do is answer the question and I'll disappear. I mean, this is such a simple question. And then, you know, I can also tell you this. I've been in education for 36 years. I've been an administrator. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that Don Hochsprung, who was the principal, you know, at Sandy Hook, who supposedly died, right?
Right.
I do not believe he would have ever allowed her school to look so filthy and so deplorable. She would have never, ever, in her lifetime, allowed her school to be a toxic waste dump, placing children and teachers at risk for serious lifelong health risks. That school was full of toxic waste. It has high level of lead paint, high level of asbestos, high level of PCP. She would have never, ever allowed her school to look like that. Hmm. Something is not right.
Well, and her whole story is really unusual, too, because obviously the Newtown Bee, somebody from the Newtown Bee apparently, you know, interviewed her immediately after the fact and then have kind of come back and said, well, it was somebody that looked like her that was describing events from the day. And it's obviously, you know, flies in the face of the fact that she had been shot. So I don't even know if we've ever gotten a definitive answer on her involvement with the incident at all, have we?
Well, that's because, again, the driving force in usually in Columbine or any major shooting, it's the national news media. They normally ask really good, sound questions. We just didn't see that at Sandy Hook.
Right.
I mean, you got Pete Williams from NBC National News on an anchor desk saying that only four handguns and handguns only were used inside of Sandy Hook. And he got it from a reliable federal source. Now, okay, is that true or false? And then you got Dr. Wayne Carver says all children and teachers were shot with a long rifle.
Right.
So where did Pete – see, there's no follow-up. There's no correction. And there's no accountability in any of the national news media reporting.
Right, right.
How do you say only four handguns? And he said he got it from reliable federal sources. And then, JD, you know this, common sense, and any police officer or paramedic listening to your show today, mm-hmm. why would you search the trunk of a car in the middle of the night?
It makes no sense whatsoever.
You have got to be kidding me.
No.
And are you ready to the one that really gets me? When you read the 7,000-page report, do you know they did not fingerprint the cars, the rifles, the magazine? There were no fingerprints ever taken at the house or inside the school. Why
really?
Would you not take fingerprints?
Oh, my goodness. Well, and didn't the supposed perp, wasn't he wearing fingerless gloves?
Apparently? Yes, he was. That's so, what. That really caught my attention. He's wearing fingerless gloves.
Mm-hmm.
Would you not fingerprint?
Yeah. I mean, the lack of police response to me is the most astounding aspect of this whole thing.
Well, you know, when you come to a shooting, which made national news, you got a crime scene. You protect the crime scene. And I don't see any – I mean, J.D., when you look at the dash cam videos of the Connecticut State Troopers, they're eating bananas in the middle of the parking lot.
I know.
Who went shopping for bananas?
Oh, I mean, when you look at the police, seriously, what they got like the big box of Doritos and stuff out on the hood of their car. You can see
Gatorade,
it in the dash cam.
Water,
yes.
Drink,
hanging out. If that doesn't look like a drill to somebody, if that doesn't look like those guys are bored out of their minds to everybody watching, I mean, I don't know how to make it more clear than that, you know?
And if you really follow it really through, they actually gather up all that food and they actually take it inside the school to have lunch.
Oh, my God.
Now, who in the world is going to eat lunch when there are 18 children, 7 adults?
Still in the building.
Everywhere.
Yeah, still in the building.
You don't eat lunch.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it seems very apparent that this whole thing was either a FEMA drill that somebody got a hold of and thought it was real, so they decided to, you know, cultivate an entire story about it, or it was complete agenda from the get-go. But that brings us always to the question of people who are skeptical about, the hoax aspect, is that what could the administration or what could the agenda have been in order, you know, why would they do something like this? What would be the after effects of doing something like this? How would it benefit them? What do you think about that?
Well, being an educator, they fooled me about what the agenda was. I thought it was all about gun control.
Okay.
Actually, when you look what's coming out of Connecticut, it's not about gun control. Yes, eventually it has something to do with it. I think it's about mental health.
Really?
They have passed legislation in Connecticut now. That any parent in Connecticut who wants to homeschool their child, that child has to have a complete mental health exam or the parent cannot homeschool their child.
Oh, my goodness.
That is not America. Parents have a right, if they choose to homeschool their child, they have a right to do that. Their child shouldn't have to go have a medical exam, mental health exam. And you know what's going to happen, don't you? They have the mental health exam, and then the doctors are going to say, ooh, he needs to be on medication. So now we're starting to sell medication again for the big pharmaceutical companies. Then now and now because they have a mental health issue, they'll never be able to own a gun. See, they're coming in the back door.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, if you wanted to figure out what the agenda was, I think Wolfgang just nailed it right on the head. You know, Well, there's so many. There's literally so many things I could think of at Sandy Hook that make me crazy. But, you know, one of the ones up until just recently was the lack of lawsuits involved, you know, with the parents. I've never seen an incident like that where parents hadn't sued for negligence of at least the city or the school. But now all the parents have teamed up and they are going to sue someone, but it's Bushmaster that they're suing, which makes absolutely no sense to me at all. What do you think about that, Wolfgang?
Well, you know, I think people with good common sense, if they followed school shootings all across the country, they know there's one thing that happens after someone has died or got seriously injured. Lawsuits will be filed against the school district, police department, just like in Columbine.
Right.
14 students died. 14 parents filed lawsuits.
Yeah.
23 were seriously injured. 23 filed lawsuits. Chardon High School, Ohio, 3 students shot and killed in the cafeteria. They just settled about 6 months ago for $2.6 million. Mm-hmm. And here you've got Sandy Hook, 20 children, 6 teachers, and not one of them has filed a legal lawsuit. Why? And the media has not even talked about it.
Yeah. I mean, if that's not an indication here that something is wrong or that those people got money from another source, I don't know what would be. Wolfgang, I wanted to ask you about Shanley's lawsuit. I don't know what your feelings are about it. Obviously, that was a story that came out this week. I don't even know if it's a real lawsuit or if it's a hoax lawsuit or what, but I'm certainly interested in your opinion of it.
Well, I don't believe it's the direction that we ought to be going right now.
Okay.
What the money should not be the issue, okay? We're right now trying to find the truth. William Shanley has yet to read the 7,000-page report. Okay. How do you file a lawsuit if you don't understand the negligence that unfolded in this case? Mm-hmm. And if you're going to do it the right way, okay? And then not have alternatives or agendas. You know, I got into this fray because homicide investigators came to my house. They threatened me.
Right.
And I'm a naturalized citizen. That's one of the greatest privileges I have is to ask questions. And, J.D., this is America. We won our questions. This lawsuit is not the way to do it. It has to be done. And our lawsuit is going to be filed here shortly. Mm-hmm. We're going to do it a different way.
What is yours going to entail?
Well,
I mean, as much as you can tell, you know, without giving away the farm.
Well, number one, I'll send you after the show, I will send you, I'll actually share, I don't want to do it on the air, but okay. I will share with you exactly what it looks like, what it is, and I think you'll really like it and have a good understanding where we're going.
Okay. Well, then I'll kind of tease the audience with that, and we'll make it available. Obviously, bring you back on when your lawsuit is ready so we can discuss it in greater depth. Because, again, you know, I absolutely commend you, Wolfgang. I know that you've been under a lot of pressure. There's been a lot of things reported about you which were not true, trying to discredit you and things like that. And I got to tell you, man, I know that you're would much rather be being just a simple grandpa right now. But the fact that you are taking this initiative and actually pushing back as hard as you are is just wonderful. It's heartwarming, even though it's such a difficult subject. But, man, I just commend you so much, Wolfgang.
Well, J.D., I want to be retired, and I do need people's help. If we're going to fight this battle, the donations, I'd rather have 1 million people donating a quarter because now I know I have 1 million people supporting J.D. and I, okay? J.D., that's what we need. We need numbers, not so much as money.
Right.
But we do need money to pay for the attorneys. They're not going to do it pro bono. And it is. It's going to be one heck of a fight. But I think we can do it. I think once we get that first person into a deposition to raise their right hand, I think things will start unfolding. Mm-hmm. And Sandy Hook, as you said, J.D., I think it's a game changer for every American. I think Sandy Hook is going to expose 9/11, mm-hmm. Boston bombing. It's going to expose JFK. I think there's so much conspiracy and underhandedness in the government. I think Sandy Hook is our game changer.
I agree. And that's why, you know, it's as difficult a subject as it is, because we are talking about the potential death of children, it's still a subject that we absolutely have got to keep talking about, because it's the biggest weakness, I think, that I can see in all of the agenda, you know, driven stories that we're being presented with.
And J.D., I hope I'm wrong. I mean, please, I have no agenda. I do this because I'm a national school safety consultant. I would be remiss in not asking these type of questions.
Right.
Because as you said at the beginning of the show, I have to stand in front of 200 school board members and tell them how they should respond to this kind of an event.
Yeah.
Now, how do I tell them the truth if I don't know the truth?
Well, and how do you tell them to do things that Sandy Hook already did that didn't result in any kind of information? Like Sandy Hook, obviously, as far as I know, put in video cameras in their main office area, right? And I think that their door was on a time lock system. I mean, supposedly, the Sandy Hook school was a pretty secure school, and we should be able to cultivate some information from that security system to help us solve these problems or to help us figure out what actually happened there. But we don't see that coming out of Sandy Hook, do we?
Well, that's one of the FOIA questions I have. Who installed the security system?
Mm-hmm.
Who put in that push button, panic button? Who put that video camera in there but failed to have a recording device? I want to know what vendor sells a video camera that doesn't record.
If you can get it.
The bank hire, you know, they buy 12 video cameras, but we don't want to record it. Right. I mean, did they not ever think that a hostile, angry parent may show up at the front door, you know, demanding and threatening, and they don't have a way to record that event? I mean, that just doesn't make sense.
Right. Well, and especially if they installed that as a response to the events that happened at Columbine. You know what I mean? Like, they obviously saw something. They said, well, we need to make a change, and they made a change. But now it's just like body cameras on the police with this Eric Garner situation. It doesn't matter what we have on tape, or, you know, if they want to withhold the evidence from us, that's what they're going to do. We're kind of narrowly running out of time here. We've got a few minutes left.
Okay.
I want to try and bring this into scope for people so that they really understand fundamentally what it is that you have come to in terms of your belief about Sandy Hook over the last 2 years. Like, where are we actually at with the incident now? What do you actually believe either happened or did not happen there?
I believe it's a 2.5-year scripted event. I call it the biggest illusion that Homeland Security and FEMA has ever portrayed on the American public. I think it's created panic and fear across America.
Right.
I think it's inflicted emotional distress on millions of innocent Americans for their agenda. And you know what? They ought to be ashamed, and they're going to get caught because it's almost like terrorism. Why would you do that to the American public? Why would you do this to parents and grandparents?
Right.
Schools are safe. But to use children and teachers as props, that's unforgiving.
I agree. But are you of the opinion that no one actually died at Sandy Hook then?
Well, my opinion is this. Until they answer all of those simple questions, which hopefully we'll get in with the next 6 to 3 weeks,
mm-hmm.
Until they answer those questions, I do not believe children and teachers died on that day.
Wow.
Now, I hope they prove me wrong by answering those questions. Mm-hmm. And, J.D., I'll be the first one. I'm going to run down to the nearest mental health facility. J.D., I'm serious. I'm going to enroll myself.
Right.
Because I can't hurt people. I mean, I will feel so guilty that I have to enroll myself. I voluntarily put me in because I don't want to hurt those parents. I don't want to hurt any police officers or paramedics who responded on that day.
Right.
And I need mental health if that's the case.
I don't think you need mental health. I think these questions that you're asking are pretty significant, but they're fairly simple. And again, you know, like the question about who installed the video cameras, that's public information. That's not information that would normally be, you know, classified by the FBI. Or, you know, another simple question, who cleaned up after the massacre? What was the name of the organization that came in and dealt with all the biohazard stuff?
I saw that at Columbine. I saw the company that came in and had to clean up all of the bodily fluids. And, yeah, I know what the process is, how it goes. Mm-hmm. They refused to answer. And there's no secrets about this.
Right, and that's what's so astounding to me is that all of the things that you're looking for, again, we're not going off on these wild conspiratorial tangents. You know, the guy in the woods we could talk about. We could talk about, you know, Adam Lanza weighing 120 pounds and somehow acquiring the skill to get a 96% kill ratio shot, which is, you know, if that's the case, we need to restructure our entire military at this point and fill it full of, you know, 120-pound kids with Asperger's, because I know guys in the Green Berets who don't get that kind of kill ratio shot. So, again, there's just so much. And, again, in that same vein, no injuries. You know, we talk about 26 deaths, but no injuries, which to me is just, it doesn't compute in my mind. Kids are going to run away. There's going to be, again, blood on the floor. You're going to slip. You're going to hurt an ankle. So many inconsistencies that we see coming out of this particular event, and I just want to commend you again for asking these very simple questions, but it's kind of astounding to me that we're at a point now. You know, to be honest, Wolfgang, I hope that you're right. I hope that you're not wrong, because if you're wrong, that means a lot of people died on that day, and I would like to believe, even if it's a very macabre kind of belief, that at least the agencies responsible may have moved to a point where they can do these false flag, you know, type operations without actually hurting anyone, which to me, I guess, would be the only silver lining that I could pull out of this entire event. I don't know about you.
Well, I totally agree with your comments. I just hope that that's not what the future looks like for America, that this is what they're going to do to the American public.
Yeah, I agree with that. So what could we do to help you, Wolfgang? We've got about 2 minutes left. Final words of wisdom and an appeal for us to get involved, if you would, sir.
Well, I think they should call their congressman. I think the first thing you should demand from your United States senator, and you should demand from your U.S. House of Representatives, that they hold a congressional hearing on the Sandy Hook school shooting massacre. Mm-hmm. J.D., I've got 32 sworn police officers lie on their police affidavits. That's felonies.
Right.
Policemen cannot lie on their sworn affidavits. Those 30-plus affidavits themselves should warrant a brand-new grand jury investigation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But nobody's doing anything. And I've never, you know, since when does the national news media not like to do something like that, expose the lies and fraud in law enforcement?
Well, when their bills are being paid by the administration, you know, it doesn't suit them. Our media now is not journalism. It's public relations. You can tell if they're telling you something that you don't want to hear, that's media. If you're telling you something that meets the status quo, you know, that's just public relations at this point. You have to remember, everything on television, be it a product, a person, or a perspective, it's all for sale at this point. And I think I agree with you. To me, there's got to be a whole bunch of you know, journalists out there that want to jump in on this, but we just don't see it happening, you know?
No, but it was a scripted event, and if you go to our website, read the scripts. J.D., it's a scripted event. When you look at the Newtown Police, you got a guy named Sergeant Culgren, lead mm-hmm. actor. When you read the Connecticut State Police, you got a Connecticut police officer named O'Donnell, lead actor. They control each piece of the event. Now, we know better. When we have a major event, you have an incident commander. You have it for medical and for police. You just don't see any of that at Sandy Hook.
Wow. Well, Wolfgang, we are just about out of time, and I really appreciate you coming on to the program. I'd like to get another program put together with you when you get closer to getting this lawsuit kicked off, because, again, I think there's so many more questions that relate to the Sandy Hook that we need to go over. And, again, this is it. This is the event that we can really crack open, and it will, just like you said, it's going to lead us to the truth about 9/11.
Game changer.
It's an absolute game changer. I agree.
Just help us if you can with the legal funds. You know, if you can't, that's fine. If you can't donate, just spread the word, you know.
Right.
Yep,
sandyhookjustice.com, ladies and gentlemen. Again, do please offer Wolfgang some support, either financially or take that website and share it with your friends and family. We need to keep Sandy Hook in the radar screen, on the radar screen, so we can continue to drive forward and uncover the agenda behind all this. So, again, Wolfgang, thank you for being here on the program today.
Thank you, Jenny, and Happy New Year to all you listeners.
Happy New Year's to you too, sir. Tomorrow, we will have Stan Deo on the show, going to be talking about ufology and biblical prophecy and things like that. One of the most amazing, interesting people out there. I hope you guys tune
back
in.
When you think of your iPhone, you think of your very identity. It becomes such a part of you that you need it, like a junkie needs crack cocaine. But that junkie always needs more. So for the iPhone 5, we took the last iPhone, our most amazing design yet, and gave it 18% more excellence. It gives you the iPhone 5. With this radical new way of thinking, we took the iPhone 4S and completely retooled and redesigned the entire structure. We were able to make it thinner, longer, lighter, shinier, heavier, thicker, and much wider.
Simply put, this level of invention and quality control has never been matched in human history.